down. I led a prayer for the living and all we'd left behind. Anything to ease a troubled mind. As I gave the message, I started to cry. If they asked me any questions, I wouldn't have to lie. I'd say Margie left the valley sometime in the night. She was home.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Bristol, Virginia.
My name is Daniel Boner, and I'm the director of Bluegrass, Old Time, and Roots Music Studies at East Tennessee State University.
I just learned that you can get a master's
in Appalachian Studies, yeah.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm, yep. Master of Arts in Appalachian Studies. They've got a cultural track, a public health track. It's really fascinating.
That's so cool. So how long have you been at ETSU?
I first went to ETSU as a student back in 2000. So I'm now starting into my 23rd year on campus, which is really fascinating. I just turned 40 back in December, so it's been really fascinating to see how much the university has grown and how the music has changed over the last 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was here for the first ever Rhythm and Roots Festival back in 2001 when they had one stage and all these great bluegrass acts that performed, and this band, the ETSU Bluegrass Pride Band, was part of that.
Rolling back in time in your world when you were a student, did you have any clue where you'd wind up today?
Life is a journey, and it's so fascinating. When I first set foot onto campus, for example, I came from a family that didn't have a lot of money. They would say things like, well, it must be nice to travel overseas and do things like that, but of course we'll never do that because we don't have money to go to Italy or Europe or Japan or places. And coming to the university within my freshman year, I had the chance with the ETSU choir, the ETSU chorale, I toured Italy with them, performed at the Vatican in Rome, St. Mark's Basilica, and like 8 or 9 other amazing facilities there in Italy in March of 2001. And then that summer, we did a two-week tour of Japan with the Bluegrass Band, and I met some friends in Japan that I've been friends with now for all this time. And that was like the beginning of recognizing how music can really change your life.
And how it permeates our life and culture.
Mm-hmm.
Even just that background that you're not consciously aware of.
Absolutely. You kind of transform. And of course, education's that way too. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, these students here, they come to a college and, you know, they might have expectations. Well, I get my 4-year degree and then I get a job. Well, there's so much more to education than just getting a job. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get a job anywhere. We're doing things that are far more exciting than just getting a job, I think.
And you never graduated. You're still...
I did. I earned a degree, but I guess
if
you stay long enough, Tom, they just put you in charge.
Another level, you're a perpetual student.
Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. And gosh, the older I get, the more I realize how much I don't know and how much, like the students in the Bluegrass Pride Band, how much they know because of the way that they... You know, they've had a whole new way of upbringing than you or I had.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the biggest cultural shift has been in upbringing?
Goodness sakes. Well, the technology. You know, when we used to have to rely on people to tell us if something was true or not, right? Mm-hmm. And they may or may not be right. And now you've got access to all sorts of information on a phone in your pocket that you can be hanging out with friends and somebody's like, well, who was the person who hit the most home runs in this year? And you're like, oh, well, let's just find out.
30 seconds
later. And
you
know it, yeah. It's instant. And that, for musicians, it is incredible what they get to learn by the time they get to college. If they like bluegrass music, they can already be learning all of these incredible artists because it's all on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music. It's all right there for them.
Dig a little deeper in classroom time in your studies,
mm-hmm.
what you learn, how hands-on it is, how theoretical.
We have a Bachelor of Arts in Bluegrass, Old Time, and Roots Music Studies, and within that degree track, we have 4 concentrations, one in bluegrass music industry, another in audio production for musicians, one for old-time music, and another for Scottish and Irish traditional music. Students come in, they decide which area fits the best, and there's a lot of electives that cross-reference each other. And so a bluegrass student might want to learn some old-time music, and they can take some of those classes, or some students might want to learn more about recording, so they can kind of cross over and take that as well.
That's really cool. You brought along some students with you.
I did. We have 6 of the ETSU Bluegrass Pride Band, which is one of about 25 bands we have in our program. We have Lizzie Cahalan from Virginia, Lydia Hamby from North Carolina. Stephen Ivey is, where are you from, Stephen?
Indiger, Alabama.
Alabama, that's right. I'd forgotten that. See, this is his first semester in the band. I'm still learning. And Gabe Hebert, he's from Canada. He's our one international student.
Very cool.
And we're missing Will Potts and Will Hart, who play guitar and bass.
Have the kids share a little bit?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
You could slide the microphone.
Yeah. Gabe is our banjo player, and this is his second year at ETSU.
Gabe?
How's it going?
Good. So tell us about how you came to go to ETSU.
Well, first, we had met a few kids. There was a program back home called the Kids in Bluegrass, and it was just a group of kids who were trying to set up a little show to bring around the festivals, just to show that there are some younger people in this music. In the process, I met a really good fiddle player named Layla Cantafio, who was from the same province I'm from in Canada, and come to find out that she was planning on coming to ETSU, and we started talking and kind of exchanging information about like what the program is and all that deal.
And what ultimately tempted you to come?
Just looking for a career in bluegrass. Banjo is my passion. I love playing it. I love bluegrass music.
ETSU itself, you know, what did it offer you that...
Just the world-class bluegrass program. So many great people came out of the program. There's so much information about the program and like what they do and how they teach. And it's just, I thought it was great. It really pulled me in. It was a good choice.
Definitely cool.
I'll just interject. So like a day like today is an educational experience. It's an outreach experience performing on stage with the Bluegrass Pride Band for an audience of a few hundred people.
Stephen Ivey.
Let me just scoot over here. How are you doing?
Good. So your name, thank
you. I'm Stephen Ivey. I'm from Henniger, Alabama. I found out about the program from my grandparents. They just talked me into going. And
how did they know about it?
I really don't know. I think somebody must have just mentioned it to them or something. Then I looked up some videos and of Dan and the previous Pride Band, and I was just blown away by it, and yeah.
So what tempted you the most to make the decision to come here?
I just wanted to learn from Barry mostly. I just knew that. I heard about Hunter Barry being there, and that really drew me in more, so yeah.
And what year are you?
I'm a sophomore.
Okay. After you graduate, do you have any vision or idea of what you want to do?
Hopefully being a band, but I don't know. I don't know yet for sure.
I'm Lydia Hamby. I'm from just outside of Asheville, North Carolina. And I chose ETSU. I heard about it first through 2 alumna of the program. Actually, they were both in the Bluegrass Old Time and Country Music program, and actually a former member of the Pride Band as well, David Grindstaff. And I actually haven't been playing bluegrass for a long time. I started out just playing at my church, which is where the 2 former members of the band also played.
And what instrument?
I play the mandolin.
Yes.
And so I started playing about 3 years ago, and we're talking to them about it and just kind of jamming. They were teaching me some things about bluegrass and introduced the program to me, and it sounded like an amazing place to really get just a well-rounded education. There were the 2 alumni, but other than that, in where I live in North Carolina, there's not a lot of bluegrass, and so I was just excited to come and meet some other students who are passionate about what I'm passionate about.
And what year are you?
This is my second year, but I'm a senior. I did some college and high school, so.
Wow, yeah. Not bad.
I'm going to lose you.
I'm thinking about doing my master's in Appalachian Studies, actually. So.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey there, I'm Lizzie Cahalan. I'm from the beautiful Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. What do you got for me?
How'd you get from Shenandoah Valley to ETSU?
Ah, yes. Okay, so I'm from more of like an old-time background. My mom is a bass player and a guitar player, and she just would bring me to festivals starting when I was 2 weeks old.
Wow.
I went to my first fiddler's convention. And I've just always been around the music. I didn't really think much of it because it was just very normal for me.
Part of the household.
Yeah. Yeah, part of the household. My sisters are both amazing musicians, and they're in a band that's playing here this weekend as well, the Judy Chops. My mom just brought us around to all these festivals, and we heard it. It was very normal for us. And I wasn't really interested in playing music until I was about 16. Hmm. I started playing rhythm guitar, and I've been working from there. And I met an amazing old-time fiddler who's one of my friends. He's actually from Norway, but at the time, he was looking to go to ETSU for the Bluegrass and Old-Time program. And I kind of heard more of it like, oh, you can go to school for old-time. I was like, what?
That's pretty cool.
Huh? Yeah, it was super cool. So I would say he is what got me interested in it, and then I met Roy Andrade, who's the director of the old time side of things in the program, and just kind of everything ended up the way it was supposed to, I think, and it's been really awesome so far, and I get to work with these guys. It's super awesome.
That's really cool. And you guys were on stage today, right?
Yeah, we were on stage today. That was our first show with this configuration of people, and mm-hmm. I'd say it went pretty well considering, and it was super fun, and even though it was rainy, we had plenty of people come out to see us. It was super awesome.
That's really cool. And what year are you again?
I'm a junior. Junior. And a half. Yeah. The pandemic kind of slowed things down for me, yeah.
Yeah, for everybody. You guys, you lost a whole year in your lives, didn't you?
Yeah. And in school, too.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
It made it really hard to... Yeah, it made it hard to play music with people and mm-hmm. actually learn in, like, Zoom guitar lessons are, like, not it.
Did you ever try fiddle?
Yes, actually, in the past 2 years, I've been learning more old-time style of mm-hmm. fiddle, and that's really fun, getting to jam with more people, getting a little more comfortable with it. Oh, yeah, so how could I forget? ETSU has such amazing opportunities to make connections with professional musicians and people who are heroes. And I get to take guitar lessons from one of my personal heroes, Wyatt Rice. And last year we had a program, an artist-in-residence program, where we had two artists-in-residence come to ETSU. One of them was Mike Compton, who is a legend, an awesome mandolin player, awesome guy. And our other resident artist was Brittany Haas, who is just, she's the best. And she, unfortunately, she was only with us for 1 year, but I got to take lessons with her, and she's been one of my heroes since I started playing old time and since I got interested in it. So that was an amazing experience, and that's the kind of thing, those are the kind of things you can do at ETSU and hang out with your heroes in a really casual way.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be able to fiddle around for college education.
Yeah, exactly.
All
see
right.
What you did there.
Tom, I think I'd like to let everybody know that this is our 40th anniversary year. ETSU decided back in 1982 that they wanted to start offering bluegrass and country music courses, and it's all thanks to Jack Tottle, who founded the program in 1982. He moved here. He had already been working on the road with his own band Tasty Licks, which included Bela Fleck on the banjo.
Wow.
And after that group kind of stopped touring, he thought, well, I'll just see, maybe this college would like to offer some mandolin lessons and a history of country music course and guitar lessons. And from that point it grew, and Jack has said that he never dreamed that it would become like an institution that would have bachelor's degrees and all of this, but it just organically grew, and we had people who took their first guitar lessons there, like Kenny Chesney, Alison Krauss's band in the early 90s, Tim Stafford, Barry Bales, Adam Steffi,
wow.
Becky Buhler, who's a multi-award-winning fiddler, Jennifer McCarter, who was with the McCarter sisters on Warner Brothers back in the 80s. In those early days, the students were already starting to show a lot of promise, and now you've got people like Amethyst Kia, who is representing old time music as a black artist living in Tennessee and playing her music with such incredible vigor. And every year you just never know who's sitting around the table, who's in the band, what they're going to do and what they're going to become.
That's so cool. It keeps you young and on the edge, right?
Indeed.
So to learn more about your world,
people can go to etsu.edu/bluegrass. And they can go on our social media pages. On Facebook, just look up ETSU Bluegrass Old Time and Roots Music Studies. And we're on Instagram. We're everywhere you can find us.
That's so cool. And if it doesn't work out with bluegrass, you can always switch majors to storytelling.
ETSU has...
I love it.
Yeah, has a storytelling master's degree.
I want to sign up for that. I really do.
Well, what are you waiting on?
I don't know.
Just come move on out and...
I'm ready.
I bet you'd fit in well here in Tennessee.
I could, because I can make up stories. Oh, I love it. All right. Thank you so much. And once again, your name?
Dan Boner.
down. Thank you, guys. And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Bristol, Tennessee, and Virginia. Not bad. Cross the border. We'll see you here.
Change the course of the water and flooded the town. Watch from the banks of the river when old Butler went down. I led a prayer for the living and all we'd left behind. Anything to ease a troubled mind. As I gave the message, I started to cry. If they asked me any questions, I wouldn't have to lie. I'd say Margie left the valley sometime in the night. She was homesick for the city life. I always knew she'd never make a preacher's wife. Jesus said one day the dead would rise up from the ground. You can't bury memories that won't drown. 35 years later, and all I think about is what's coming up when the water goes down. We never thought we'd ever see old
Buck. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer on KCBX Radio. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Sheriff's at my door. Jesus said one day the dead would rise up from the ground. You can't bury memories that won't drown. 35 years later, and all I think about is what's coming up when the water goes down. What's coming up when the water goes down? What's coming up when the water goes down?
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.